Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We're back.
We are back at it again.
We haven't left this room, but you guys have done a lot in the last week, dear listener. What have you done?
Some cool things, I bet.
Yeah.
Someone went bowling.
You think?
Probably.
I bet someone who's listening is really into pickleball.
Definitely.
Pickleball. Interesting.
Yeah. It's like popping up. Like all the millennial, it's like a millennial thing right now.
Pickleball?
I think.
And that was an old people thing.
I know, but they're building all these pickleball courts like in town.
We should play. Do you want to play pickleball?
I don't even know what it is.
I actually have never played it before. I know very little about it. I know that that's, yeah, that would be, we could give it a shot.
Let's do it.
Pickleball. I also don't really.
With a bunch of other 30-year-olds with bad knees.
They're also doing a lot of Top Golf places. In the last few years, they've been building quite a few of those. Yeah. Those are becoming really popular. Yeah.
I could see maybe enjoying that. I don't know if I would.
You get your anger out, I think.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe. I feel like I've been pretty angry the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to go to one of those like destroy rooms where you
those
just
look
like
so fun.
Beat the shit out of a TV.
Yeah. Throw plates against the wall.
Because I've been feeling like I want to do that with my own stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I don't actually because it's
do
my
it.
Stuff.
Let's find one.
They're kind of expensive. You have
Are
to
they?
Like pay per. Yeah, and it's like.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. Couldn't I just go to Goodwill and buy this shit for like $10?
Just go in your garage and break stuff.
Yeah, it's like very pricey for what it is.
They should have BYOS where you just bring your own stuff and smash your own thing.
Do they not do that?
I bet they do, but then they still charge you for it.
That's rude.
Yeah.
It's really
because it's like a, you know, a safe place. They give you fucking dollar store goggles and they're like,
stupid.
Have fun.
Good luck.
Good luck.
All right. Well, we're back here, week 2, episode 2, part 2.
All right.
Of the Steven Stanner case. Happy First and Fridays. We are on Holy Gossip Girls. I'm Casey.
I'm Faye.
And I'm Tay.
Okay, so part 2. I'm just going to read the synopsis from IMDb. A heroic escape, a televised family reunion, but the Stanner ordeal is far from over as painful secrets surface. When a hit TV movie rewrites the Stanner story, reality gets stranger than fiction.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right. So let's go over the escape from the actual story.
Okay.
As Stanner entered puberty, Parnell began to look for a younger child to kidnap.
Creep.
Because we all know he prefers little boys. Parnell had used Stanner to attempt to kidnap children on prior occasions, but all the kidnapping attempts were unsuccessful. This caused Parnell to believe that Stanner lacked the means to be an accomplice. Stanner revealed later that he had intentionally sabotaged these failed kidnappings. Smart.
Mm.
And on February 14th, 1980, Parnell and a teenage friend of Stanner's named Randall Sean Poorman. I didn't know that. That he used another one of his friends to kidnap Timmy White.
I thought he just did it by himself. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, so Parnell and one of Steven's friends kidnapped a 5-year-old named Timmy White.
Wow. Jeez. What a friend.
Right?
Well, okay, so before we go any further, with that being said, you know, like he's trying to hire him as an accomplice kind of thing, like mm-hmm. manipulate him into becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he had done that, do you think that he would be at fault? You know, would he actually, do you think it would be righteous if like they charged him as an accomplice for the kidnapping of the next, you know, the next victim?
I don't think so. Because he was under duress probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting though.
I mean, it is something to think about because you know, like of course it's the whole brainwashing and manipulating and you know, but it's years later mm-hmm. and he's kind of now like developed more, but still, you're thinking like it's still kind of treated as like he's under duress or he's just being manipulated and he's not really technically an accomplice, even if he did help him to kidnap someone. Do you think like a court of law would see that as like you knew you were doing something wrong when you were helping him kidnap someone? Like you knew it was a kidnapping kind of thing.
I mean, it's hard to do anything with any type of moral code whenever you are a kidnap victim.
Yeah.
And like still stuck in that place. Like you would do anything to like probably save yourself or whatever, escape. It's like all those stories of like the women that get kidnapped or little girls that get kidnapped by those men and they're locked in rooms for years and then they end up killing their captor. And then like, it's like, do they get charged for murder?
Like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Cause like they were kidnapped and raped and like fucking had broken arms and dead babies and all this wild shit. Like you really gonna make them a murderer too?
Yeah. But just food for thought. I thought it was like, it was on my mind when I was thinking about that while watching this. Yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting. I guess it's similar, like whenever, I mean, it's not totally similar, but like whenever you have somebody in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they do some fucked up shit while they're in prison, but they still get charged for all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But they're not being manipulated and all this other stuff. Yeah, it's an interesting thought. Okay, so motivated in part by the young boy's distress, Stainer decided to return the boy to his parents, which I don't know. It seemed pretty like quick in the show.
It seemed like the kid was only with them for extremely short amount of time. Like I was like thinking days to weeks at most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause let's see. Oh, I could tell you right now. So the little boy was kidnapped on February 14th and on March 1st was whenever they
So it was left. Just weeks. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So on March 1st, 1980, while Parnell was away at his night security job, Stainer left with Timmy White and hitchhiked into Ukiah. After they were unable to locate Timmy's home, they went to the police station. By daybreak on March 2nd, Parnell had been arrested on suspicion of abducting both boys. When the police checked into his background, they found previous sodomy conviction from 1951. Jeez. Both children were reunited with their families that day. In 1981, Parnell was tried and convicted of kidnapping White and Stainer in two separate trials. He was sentenced. Oh God, this part of the
this was messed up.
Wild. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was sentenced to 7 years, but was paroled after serving 5. Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
So that brings up an interesting point too about how he went through his trial. They found him guilty, of course, and the judge sentenced him to basically the amount of time that he had taken, you know, Stephen, right?
But so he was charged 7 years just for Timmy.
That's what it was. Yes. But he was given this amount of time, which was a ridiculous amount of time for how much like he caused damage wise to two separate families.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was released.
Yeah.
Because of that good behavior. that whole thing about how we were talking about in the last episode about is it okay, you know, for someone to be back out on the street when you know exactly, you know, like what they did and like how likely they'll do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what's more important to have in custody? People who sell marijuana.
That's what I was just gonna say. you go in for longer for that than you do for kidnapping or raping a child.
But this was quite a while back. This was a few decades ago. So I think it's gotten like very, very bad. Like, yeah, it's improved significantly. But with that being said too, though, it's still ridiculous how that was the amount of time that he spent and how much time he spent like, you know, just what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's unbelievable.
It's horrible. I just, watching it on the documentary was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him on the stand, like, admit that he had been raped.
Yeah, he didn't want to.
Yeah, like, and this little boy, like, he reminds me of my dad, who's just, like, so, like, you know, shit happens. Uh-huh. Like, go with the flow. And, like, the most horrible thing happened to this little boy. And he's just like, it was my life.
Yeah.
And he found a way to get over it. And, like, it's just wild.
So if I remember this correctly, because maybe I didn't quite understand this part of it, but I thought that Steven was saying after he came back that he was like, no, he didn't do anything wrong to me. Like, didn't he say he was like, he didn't actually rape me or he didn't actually do these things to me, but it was,
yes, he did say that.
Yeah.
But the clip that you're referring to where he did say that, it was like in front of his house or school or something. And there was like 20 reporters.
That's
around.
True. And I wanted to bring that up too. Yeah. I think that that was extremely, like, really just inappropriate for the reunitement to be in front of crowds.
Yeah.
Like, it should have been solely Steven with his family, his true family. That should have been the reunitement. It should not have been this big publicity thing with a bunch of like family, not family, I mean, but like neighbors, other people from the city, and then like reporters.
Yeah.
That was extremely just disturbing. I did not like that as a first meet, like after 7 years, like it should have been a personal like, mother, father with their son.
Yeah. And then talk about how that even damages the other kids even more.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that like what the parents or anybody did in this entire situation is what caused anything that happens in the future, but like there's no correct way to navigate what they went through. It's horrible, but I really can't imagine. I just can't imagine to have multiple kids and have anything happen to one kid. Even if you have one kid that has like a terrible sickness and they're in the hospital for a long time, like you end up giving more attention to that kid and the other kids pick up on it and they do get jealous.
They suffer even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah. It's hard. Ugh.
Ugh.
Jeez.
Being you gotta have one kid.
Being a parent is... There's so much to think about. There's so many ways you can fuck up a child.
Oh, it's true, though. That's why it's a whole job in itself.
But yeah, Steven didn't like admit to it until he was on the stand. And even then, he didn't literally say anything. He just said yes.
And that's why I feel like it was total brainwashing, because he still to that like. That's what I felt like he was having trouble admitting it, because he still like was either afraid to talk about it or that he still kind of had this like, you know, not like a connection, but like he spent 7 years with this man.
Yeah.
And for a lot of it, he trusted him.
He's also a teenage boy.
Yes.
And it's probably super embarrassing to admit that.
That's true too. Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that too. So like he had. Definitely had Stockholm syndrome, right? Or I mean, I'm not a diagnostic person, but like that's what I think. And I think he really found a way to dissociate. Like, how could you not? How could you like stay in that situation and have all those horrible things happen to you and feel it every day?
Yeah.
So like it makes sense to like, you know, not think about it.
That's true.
And it was like your quote-unquote dad, your chosen dad, that wanted you, the only one that wanted you.
Yeah I
know. He was led to believe that.
Yeah,
he was led to believe that this was his savior. His family didn't want him, his real family, so this man took him in, made him feel like he was wanted.
And he should be grateful.
Like, how messed up is that?
Fucked up. And I can't imagine. They kind of like just gloss over it, like, and show him going back to school and stuff, but like, how hard would that be to like go back into a family that you thought hated you, basically?
That's
so weird.
I personally think that like maybe they just had like a limited amount of time, but I feel like the trial portion of it went by too fast. There was so much they could have gone into detail with about the trial itself.
Yeah.
Because I would have really been interested to know what was like, you know, what was being said a lot. What were like, you know, what was going on during that process? Because you have like, you have three different things going on. You've got the grieving family, mm-hmm. you've got Steven, and you've got the kidnapper. For some reason, I can't get his name out. Like right now,
Parnell.
Parnell, yes. So you've got these three different, like, you know, but just minds right now.
Yeah.
All probably going through different things. And it would have been much more fascinating to like kind of go through like the whole episode, really focusing more on just the trial itself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would have been like, there have been a lot of information that they kind of just grazed over.
Yeah, I feel like they could have definitely made the whole series a lot longer than 3 45 minute episodes.
Really, seriously,
the end felt so rushed to me.
It did.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Faye just took off all of her clothes.
Sorry, it was hot in here.
She's just tits out.
Jeez.
Sorry.
I'm gay and I like it. Just kidding.
I'm tits out all the time, so like, means nothing to me anymore. Okay. There's a little bit in here about like what he was charged for. Parnell was not charged with the numerous sexual assaults on Steven and the other boys, multiple, because most of them occurred outside the jurisdiction of the county prosecutor or were by then outside statute of limitation,
which again really upsets me. Yep.
Yeah,
there should be none for that kind of crime.
Why would there be a statute of limitation on child rape?
Really?
Any rape. Which is, I mean, most people have learned about this through SVU, you know, the series on Law and Order, that there's a statute of limitations to certain things. For instance, like, you know, rape, which is one thing that I have always disagreed on, because, of course, there's no statute of limitations to murder.
Yeah.
And I feel like rape can be just as devastating, if not just like as destructive as murder. Why can't it be, you know,
and to the same?
And I think part of that is just because of the, I guess maybe it's harder to prove a rape that's been like, you know, like a decade old, because, you know, it's just at that point, the evidence is gone. It's more of just like, you know, he said, she said kind of thing, or she said, he said, and it's just, it becomes convoluted after a certain point. I don't know.
Yeah. But I feel like at this point, though, for like situations like this, this is where the statute of limitations shouldn't exist for these cases, because he clearly had him held captive for 7 years.
Yes.
So like you're saying, whenever he was 7 years old and he got raped, it doesn't matter, because that was so long ago.
He's over it.
That's absolutely, and that's absolutely not okay for them to do. I agree with you on this one. It's an absolute that, like, there was no, there was no reason not to believe that that hadn't, it upsets me.
Yeah.
It really upsets me that they had to drop that part.
I wonder why the statute of limitations doesn't have, like, any type of wiggle room. Like, why is it that you can have an entire trial in certain states about whether or not they're going to have the death penalty for that specific thing? Mm-hmm. Why can't you have a trial about if you're going to abide by the statute of limitations or not?
Yeah.
Like, that's true. If you really want to keep it, you know, that might be, if I made the rules, you guys.
I think for like a robbery, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because like you were 18 when you robbed this convenience store, and now you're 27.
Yeah.
Like you changed and it's not a big deal anymore. But like for murder and for rape, I think they should be the same. Murder and rape.
Yeah.
I mean, those are
child rape, especially.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up. Okay. The Mendocino County prosecutors, acting almost entirely alone, decided not to prosecute Parnell for the sexual assaults that occurred in their jurisdiction. So I guess because he lived in all these different places, I guess only one county actually pressed charges, and then the other ones were just like,
stupid.
You guys got it.
So lame.
Murphy, the guy at the very beginning for helping the friend that helped kidnap Steven.
Oh, no, the other kid, right? Not Steven, wasn't it?
It's which one was Murphy? I thought it was the very first guy.
Wait, maybe I'm getting it mixed up.
Because two guys kidnapped Steven.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay. Sorry. I'm getting it mixed up. That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the guy that helped kidnap Steven and the friend that helped kidnap Timmy.
Yes, that's what it was. That's who I was thinking of.
So both of those helpers were convicted of lesser charges. They both claimed that they knew nothing of the sexual assaults, and that woman was never arrested.
I hope she's dead.
Okay, so here's the thing. They were accomplices. And of course, they knew what they were doing when they were doing that. I mean, they knew that they were doing something wrong.
I mean, what version of their head could they think that kidnapping a 7-year-old boy for this man was
would
innocent?
Not lead to something like that, too?
Yeah. Like, what innocent thing could possibly be happening?
Even if he wasn't abusing them like that, like, it's still kidnap.
Yes.
You can't. It's just messed up. Stupid.
Yeah. So that I think they were just as much in the wrong, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I really want to know what he told that friend of Steven's to get him to do it.
Yeah, honestly, what could have been said there? Like,
unless it was like threatening or something. Like,
it could have been like,
I can't imagine he just like convinced him to go pick up a little boy.
I want another son. You want to help me?
Yeah, like
get a boy.
Crazy. Unless he just like flat out lied and was like, "Oh, I got to go pick up my nephew."
Oh yeah.
Like, get in the car.
He likes to do this thing where he pretends he doesn't know me.
It's fine.
It's hilarious. Come along.
It's okay.
All right. So Stainer remembered the kindness of Uncle Murphy, the one that helped kidnap him. And he had shown him, let's see. And he believed that Murphy was as much a Parnell's victim as he was. Well, that's awfully big of him.
Disagree.
So, yeah, and the thing also is that for 7 years he also never opened his mouth, never said anything, even though he knew this was still continuing. And then he still kept his mouth shut for the same thing happening with the next victim.
Yeah,
like he was totally okay with going on with this for the rest, like however long this would continue.
Yeah,
that is messed up. So no, I have no, like, just
Stainer's kidnapping and its aftermath prompted California lawmakers to change the state laws to allow consecutive prison terms in similar abduction cases. So I think that's why he got 7 years for Timmy's case, and then they went to trial for Stevens, but they couldn't charge him for the same thing.
Yes.
So that's why he only got like parole or something stupid. Which is so upsetting.
Also, one thing that I think we forgot to note too was that when they were doing the escape too, how many miles was it? How many hours did they travel through rain to get?
It was a long time.
For some reason, 15 hours is like in my mind, but maybe it was 15 miles. But like it was quite a trek.
Yeah, it was quite a trek, and I want to say it was longer.
It might have been.
Like 20, it was a long time. Mm-hmm. And in the show, they were saying, the thing that was sad was Steven was like, "Here, Timmy, you go in to this police station and tell them who you are. Because they're going to know your name is everywhere.
Yeah.
You're the new fresh kid of the kidnapped week, right?" Mm-hmm. And like, he didn't feel like he could do that too. Because like, he didn't know that he was also
kidnapped.
A kidnapped person. Yeah.
And also the whole thing about he knew his first name only, right? Yeah, he didn't remember his last name after that certain time. Yeah, he's like, "I know my name is Steven, but that's about it."
Ugh, yeah. So sad. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Okay.
Bye. And we're back.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, I have to tell you guys, I had a This is not appropriate for the podcast. I'm just going to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
If you were a plant, what type of plant would you be?
Any kind of plant?
Yeah.
Palm tree.
Oh, interesting.
That's really cool. So you'd be definitely in like a more tropical region.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Oh gosh. You know, I'm not sure. I would probably, if we were doing like trees, I would want to be a redwood.
It doesn't have to be a tree.
If it's not a tree, I would probably
any type of plant.
I would want to be a either an orchid or lilac, I think, because then I could like bloom really nicely in the summertime.
Yeah. So, what about you?
Whenever somebody asked me this, I said, I want to say sunflower, but I feel like right now I'm more of a Venus flytrap.
But that means you're very unique.
Exotic.
Exotic, yeah. Uh-huh.
I strive for sunflower, which is funny because I'm not a big fan of the outside, but I love sunflowers. They just bring so much happiness.
Hey.
Just like Skeeter. He said, what that straw do?
What is going on here? We the kitty jump on the
Hi, buddy. Yeah. He's going to... Oh, yes.
Rubbing up against all the mics now. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm sure that sounds great.
You going to push one of the buttons?
Yep. Oh. Skeeter.
No. Okay, I got a booty in the face right now.
God.
Hello.
Skeeter.
My water.
Mayday. Mayday. What is happening?
Skeeter, he does this thing. Like sometimes whenever I have some work from home stuff to do, I'm sitting over. Oh my God.
Okay, he's making himself at home here. There you go.
So I'm sitting over here on my desk, and then Skeeter will come in and he just like desperately needs attention. So he's like crawling all over me, all over the desk, all over me. And I just keep pushing him off. And then he jumps over here and he jumps up right here. And then he starts crawling and he just starts crawling all over all of my mini brands.
Probably knocking everything down.
Everything down. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, Skeeter! And he just looks at me. And then he does the worst thing and he jumps.
Oh my God.
And then everything comes crumbling down.
That was like a fuck you that day, huh?
Yeah.
He must have been having a...
He's a brat.
Yeah.
He's such a brat. He'll like get on my keyboard. I vividly remember him, like he'll get on your keyboard and then you try to lift him up and he'll just like sink his claws underneath the keys.
Oh my God.
And then whenever you lift him up, he like rips out your keys.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Silly boy.
He just, whenever he wants attention, he wants it. He needs it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was fun.
Woo! All right.
Okay, back to this story. All right. So, after returning to his family, Stephen had trouble adjusting to the more structured household as he had been allowed to smoke, drink, and do as he pleased whenever he lived with Parnell.
Which is understandable. I mean, now you're readapting your whole lifestyle from 7 years of living a certain way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In an interview with Newsweek shortly after his escape, Stainer said, quote, I returned almost a grown man, and yet my parents saw me at first as their 7-year-old. Like, there's more to this quote, but I just have to say, like, what a adult thing to say as a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, that's sad.
Yeah.
14-year-old boys should not be talking this way. After they stopped trying to teach me the fundamentals all over again, it got better. But why doesn't my dad hug me anymore?
Aww.
Everything has changed. Sometimes I blame myself. I don't know. Sometimes if I should have come home, would I have been better off if I didn't?
Jeez. Aww.
That is so sad.
That is really sad.
Oh,
okay, God. We've got two different pains going on here. We've got pain from the mother and the father, and pain from the son, and they're both coping with this reunitement in different ways.
I mean, they
both lost like a lot of time with each other, and now they have to like it's got to be really difficult if you haven't seen your son or your daughter in that amount of time. Mm-hmm. How would you react too? I mean, it's tough.
And he's probably like still mourning the loss of his dad of 7 years. So even though he really had obviously a hard time with him, like, he still probably had love for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably hard. It's hard to think of somebody you called dad in a way, even if they did horrible things, like, that's still somebody that you called dad,
so that you trusted.
Yeah.
That's also got to develop some paranoia for him as well. Like, who do you trust?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I just can't imagine it.
So sad.
Are you about to paint your nails right now?
I just want to see what this color looks like. Sorry.
We should have a nail painting podcast. Ooh.
That is so pretty.
That's beautiful.
You should do a whole nail.
I need a bottom coat, though.
Oh.
I'll just borrow this from you someday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's devastating. But you have two, or actually technically three, because you've got the mother, the father, and the son.
Yeah.
They're all grieving and kind of, like, not grieving, but, like, they're all dealing with this in a different way.
And they have the other kids.
And they have the other kids, too. Yeah. Who also, by the way, they're not necessarily being forgotten, but, like, they're kind of on the sidelines watching all this happen. Yeah. And probably I don't know the details on it, and I don't remember them explaining it too much in the documentary, but I'm sure most of these, like, other, you know, children probably really didn't quite understand.
I'm sure,
like,
they didn't.
The majority of the whole story to this until maybe, like, years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they interviewed the younger sister and how she was like, every time we asked, they said, shut up. But I kept asking, and they said, shut up. And then I just kept asking. And then he told me, and I wish he didn't.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, they're the other kids, like, out of nowhere, this brother who hadn't been there for 7 years is back, and he is totally different. And, like, he's allowed to smoke and party and do drugs. And, like, why isn't he getting in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, cause they're just what do you tell a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy to deal with. I mean, now that this, like, so he's been raised differently from what they're used to. It's not like he can come back home and they'll be like, all right, now you've got new rules. All right, so you're not going to be allowed to do this. No, it's like, what do we do? We don't want to lose him again.
Yeah.
We want to show him that we're happy that he's back. But at the same time, too, we don't know how to, like, you know.
You don't even know who he is.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, exactly. It's almost like having a stranger come home to, like, live with you. It can be very nerve-wracking. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, gosh.
And he doesn't know them either. I mean, they're strangers to him, too. He probably doesn't really remember much about them because he was seven.
And the stuff he does remember is brainwashed.
Yeah.
That he thought that they didn't love him.
Yeah.
So a situation like that makes total sense about how this is how he's trying to, like, cope with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels like he's not, like, really getting what he thought he was going to get when he returned home.
Yeah.
And he feels like, maybe I shouldn't have come home. That's so sad.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
It's so sad.
Because now he feels probably like no one loves him. No one cares about him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's horrible. Okay. Stephen underwent brief counseling, but never sought additional treatment. He also refused to disclose all of the details of sexual abuse that he endured from Parnell. In a 2007 interview, Stephen's sister said that her brother did not seek counseling because their father said that he didn't need any. And she added, quote,
stupid.
Yeah.
He got on with his life, but he was pretty messed up.
Yeah.
So wait. The father kind of put this input in for him, which
is the 70s. You don't talk about mental illness.
That's true. This was a total different time. This was also a time when, like, it was sensitive to be, like, be careful, like, your mental state kind of thing, because if you weren't, there would be some consequences to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, I think that it was quite extraordinary how Stephen was able to get back into normal, like, just normalcy for himself and his family. Because, like, it was later just talking about him, you know, like, getting back to the rhythm of things, and he was almost fine, it sounded like, for a while.
Yeah, and once he reached like adulthood. Yeah.
But I don't agree that they told him that he shouldn't get counseling. He was fine. Oh, yes. It's like, he's fine, don't worry.
Yeah.
Like,
no. He was bullied by other children at school for being molested and eventually dropped out. Mm-hmm. Stainer began to drink frequently and was eventually kicked out of the family home.
Wow. I didn't remember that.
I don't remember that either. His relationship with his father remained strained, which is crazy because in the movie,
mm-hmm.
his father was like obsessed with him.
Yeah.
So why would they change such fundamental parts of the characters in the movie?
I don't know. Also, why would you kick out your kid who had been kidnapped?
Yeah.
Why would you kick out your kid, period? Unless they're like a murderer. Yeah. I would never kick my kid out.
It wasn't his fault.
I know.
And it's not his fault that he does what he does because he's used to that now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a hard situation to deal with. But this dad, you know, like in the real life, not like the movie mm-hmm. storyline, but in real life, he built it up in his mind. He's like, I need to save, you know, I need to find my son. Mm-hmm. He's out there. I know he's still alive. Mm-hmm. And then he finally reunites with him. And there must be some sort of like disconnect with him now. Like, he's like, it's just not my son. You know, someone raised him for me, and it just maybe it doesn't feel like it. And now he just feels like he can't get that connection back. I don't know.
That's sad.
Very sad.
And it hurts. And at the same time too, you got to think that like seeing it, it's like one of those things where you see the thing that reminds you mm-hmm. of what you've been through for the last 7 years. And that's mm-hmm. what the son is literally reminding him of, him not having his son for like 7 years. And it just reminds him. And that's probably making things strenuous too for him.
Yeah.
Like, and he then, sees him, and it just stresses him.
And then to be reminded of the details, it's easier to just be like, oh, let's just not talk about it.
Because, to hide everything, yeah.
Because, like, as a parent, to hear those things, I can't imagine what that would feel like. Like, you want so badly for your child to be safe all the time. So, like, to hear that you failed as a parent and they spent the last 7 years being tortured, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would feel like it was your fault.
Absolutely, yeah. Jeez.
Ugh. Yeah. It's horrible. All right. In 1985, Stainer married 17-year-old Jody Edmondson, with whom he had two children. He also worked with child abduction groups, spoke to children about personal safety, and gave interviews about his kidnappings. He joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What?
They didn't mention that.
Just before death, apparently.
Oh.
And at the time of his death, Stainer was living and were in Merced and working at a pizza shop. On September 16th, 1989, Stainer sustained fatal head injuries while on his way home from work when a motorcycle collided with a car in a hit-and-run accident. The alleged driver of the car was later identified by witnesses. 500 people attended his funeral, and 14-year-old Timmy White was a pallbearer. Oh my god.
I didn't say that either.
That is so sad.
That is the saddest.
Oh my god. Okay. Okay. I have like one more sentence, but it's about, or one more paragraph,
but wait,
it's about Parnell.
Yeah. So. Can we like,
yeah,
talk about that? Because that was not kind of, I don't feel like it was really brought up in the documentary, was that?
Mm-mm.
I don't remember that.
His death?
Well, no, his death was.
Yeah. Not the pallbearer part.
No. Well, okay.
So from what I remember of the documentary, the way they made it seem, and I could have been not paying attention well enough, mm-hmm. but I thought he died on his way to like the Emmy or whatever award show for the movie.
No, he was on his way either to or from work.
Oh.
It was the day after the awards.
Oh,
that's what it was. Yes,
or the day
I think
before.
I remember. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just thought it was like on his way there or something, and I was like, "Damn, that sucks." Okay.
But to like have that happen, and so how old was he again when that happened? What was his age?
Pretty young. It was 1989.
Yeah. So it was still. I mean, he was in his 20s.
Yeah.
So the life that he had to endure early on, and then the fact that he died at such a young age, mm-hmm. is just a tragic story, yeah. altogether, mm-hmm. which is also amazing, like that how he was able to move on from this, cope, mm-hmm. in like a surprisingly, probably, I don't know if it was completely healthy, but he married, he had kids, mm-hmm. you know, like most traumatic people who go through rape and stuff like that, they can't go through these even years later. Mm-hmm. They don't want to, they don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The pallbearer.
That's sad.
It's so sad. In 2004, Parnell, then 72 years old, was convicted of trying in the previous year to persuade his caretaker's sister to procure for him a child for $500. Aware of Parnell's past, she reported him to local police. Good on her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Timmy White, then a grown man, was subpoenaed to testify in Parnell's criminal trial. Although Stainer was dead, his testimony from his earlier trial was read to jurors as evidence.
Good.
Parnell died of natural causes on January 21st, 2008 at the California Medical Facilia in Vacaville, California, while serving 25 years to life.
So in that sense, finally got justice, and like, you know,
in a very small way,
in a very small way, because he died. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where it was, yeah. Could you ever get justice from that though? No. Entirely.
How did he get convicted of 25 years to life for asking to procure a child?
That, I don't know. That was weird to me too. I wanted to talk about that. I forgot about. Yeah. So
yeah.
That was weird to me too. What was that about?
Is it like the three strikes rule? Maybe
it might have been,
or maybe it was just such a later time that they had changed laws and stuff.
Yeah. And they're like, whoops, this one slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
Or it was just a better like judge maybe who like felt like this time it's necessary. Like, yeah. We got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Like, obviously this is just going to keep happening. We got to get him off the street.
Good for his sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For real. That would be so tough. All right. Let's see. And then my last note on my personal notes is, wow, to die after all of that.
Right.
Seriously. And then the whole showcase thing, they were talking about how the family just became just like a showcase for everyone. Yeah. Like, that's why everyone attended the funeral, even though probably half of them didn't even know him personally.
Yeah.
Like, just,
I feel really, like their whole, ever since Stephen was seven, their whole family was just put in the spotlight, yeah. constantly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just not healthy for family or anybody in the situation.
It's just crazy because I never heard about this story.
Yeah.
And this was all fresh to me when I was starting to watch this documentary. I was, yeah. like, oh
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, like, maybe if we like grew up at that time,
yeah.
it would have been more, but you think a story that big we would have heard about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that weird,
yeah,
with all the twists and ends. Turns. Yeah.
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 All right. Anything else to say about Stephen's story, his case at all?
No.
I think we covered it really well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, our sources are the Hulu docuseries Captive Audience, Wikipedia, and IMDb. Check us on social media, and we will be back next week for one last episode pertaining to
this show.
The show.
Yeah.
So watch episode 3 or just wait for us to talk about it. And until then, we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.